Yeah, welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. I'm back from vacation.
Welcome back.
Well rested, kind of. Feeling good. Good to be here. Football season is here, Joe Rex Road. Training camp this week. How we feeling?
It is. Yeah, I'm ready. It's already going in some places. We're already getting Bears, yeah. Caleb Williams stuff, and Lions PUP things. And so, yeah, Titans start talking tomorrow, start playing Wednesday. Ready for it.
Getting after it. Nick Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing great. Had a nice weekend of playing hockey and hanging out with the Rex Roads on Friday night.
Wow. So, that's right.
Yeah, Mill Creek, shout out.
Well, at least
that's
free
a
ads.
Nice spot.
There's so many free ads this
hey,
place.
You know what? That was a great beer, great burger. You told me to get the Smash
Burger.
I know.
Hey, Robbie's been there. Yeah, we've had a draft there.
It's great. Yeah. Oh, really? Way, that'd be a great idea.
By the way, not that far away from another edition.
Very true.
Of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
Redemption, yeah. I would very much so like to win that this year.
You would. And you still owe.
I do. The hot pizza, honey pizza. Yeah. That's okay.
Sorry, Chase and Big Joe still owe us a lunch from a year
That's
ago,
true.
Which we'll never get paid.
Probably not.
Yeah. We need to push it on that. We need to push it on that. And I did not blame Nick for that mute, brother. That's Kaharsky's big thing. Every time
I've noticed that.
You know, Kaharsky's, you let me down, Nick.
Kaharsky's done radio for over a decade.
Yeah.
All you got to do is hit the button.
Apparently. And
but they have an understanding.
Well, apparently at his previous stops, everything was done for him. They'd pour his little water in his mouth for him, like a little baby bird. Do his mute button for
Hell
him.
Yeah, you make me hit the button.
There you go.
Ugh.
Yeah, so
good stuff. We're gonna talk about Kaharsky a little later in the show.
That's right. The argument that we had Friday spilled over into the interwebs, and good for Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry getting after PK a little bit. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. We got a lot to get into today. It is Titans training camp week, so football season, if you want to count this football season, is right around the corner with training camp beginning this week. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to all that. Joe, I did catch a little bit of your conversation, I believe on Friday. I don't have my days together. So it was either Thursday or Friday that I caught some of your conversation. I believe it was Kyle who called in and threw out the question of Will Levis, like if he was a top 15 quarterback at the end of the season, would you take that? And I think the answer to that is unequivocally yes.
Yeah, like smash to me, the yes button.
If he's a top 15 quarterback, that's a really good development for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, my question is, how realistic do we think that is for him to be a top 15 quarterback this year? Because, look, some people have thrown it out there, like, does he have to creep into that territory in order for the Titans to make the playoffs? And I think there's probably a path to them making the playoffs where he's not really that. I mean, if the corner group is as good as we think it's going to be, and you know the offensive weapons take as big of a step up as we think they could take, then I don't know that he necessarily has to be a top 15 quarterback for the Titans to be in a playoff race at the end of the year. But certainly, like, if you're a Titans fan right now and we told you that by the end of the season, Will Levis is going to be the 15th best quarterback in the league, I don't know who wouldn't sign up for that right now. So is that realistic? And as you look at Will Levis, the path that's going to be in front of him, and training camp starting this week, I mean, we're getting into the time where everything that he does in practice, everything that he says, everything that we see on the field is going to be dissected and talked about and over-discussed to some degree before the season gets here. Do we think that him leaning into that and getting to a place where he could enter himself into that conversation is a realistic goal for Will Levis this season?
Yeah, once this got brought up, it's a good question, and once this got up, I think it's lofty. This got brought up the other day, and then we started talking a little bit about, and I didn't really have time to get into it, but like, to me, you're getting into the 20s before you start getting into crappy quarterbacks. And really, once you get there, you're starting to get into some of these highly drafted rookies and things, and you just really don't know what it's going to look like this year. Top 15, let's go for as long as we can go before, like, let's just go through it and see where it's even possible that he could sneak in there. Okay, you got Mahomes.
Yep.
whatever order, but you got Lamar and Burrow and Josh Allen and Herbert and, you know, Rodgers is a really interesting one, but he's somewhere in there, right?
Yep.
Stroud. I think that yeah, Stroud is in there. I think that Hurts is in there. Yep. Stafford's in there. Dak, I think, is in there. So now where are we?
We're at 10.
We're at 10. Okay.
Goff.
Okay, so you have Goff. You have your guy.
Love.
Who I think is absolutely feeling good about him being in there.
Purdy.
I think you got Purdy. I think you got Trevor Lawrence. Okay.
That's 14.
There's 14. I'm going Kirk Cousins,
yep,
which is pretty freaking good at 15. And then I think, okay.
What about Tua?
Then you have Tua. And I think certainly right now, I mean, Levis has beat him. Levis did outdo him.
I do
think that once you get to that with Tua, and I like Tua. I think Tua is, yeah, he's the next guy there. But is that, could he sneak into, you know, I mean, so basically, can he sneak into better than Cousins, better than, I mean, and the thing is, you know, Cousins, I mean, look, he's coming off the Achilles, so there's some unknown with some of these guys.
Yep.
Some of these guys are older. Then you're getting into, then after that, you get into, I mean, what about Baker Mayfield?
That's exactly
what
I was
about Derek
bring up.
Carr?
Yep.
You know, what, and then get into, you know, younger guys who, like, just like him, or could be all over the place, like Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
I mean, but obviously, for this exercise, he's going to be better than him. For this exercise, he's going to be better than the rookies. He's going to be better.
There's Deshaun Watson, and we have no idea.
Right.
Who information recently would tell me is not in the top 15 discussion. But
also, his whole career information tells you he certainly could be.
Yeah.
So, some of you know, Levis being in the top 15. First of all, some of it is out of his hands. But if he plays well enough to where you're talking about him in the top 15 this year, however some of the other stuff works out, some of those guys will be better, some of those guys will be worse. Yes. You're smashing the yes button all day on that. That's an entrenched, reliable, good starting quarterback in the NFL. You know, quarterback depth in the NFL is bad. You go through the QB2s in the NFL, you'll find 5-6 names you're like, really? That's their quarterback too? And there's a bunch that you just know are not good. But we're into the 20s for sure in terms of quarterbacks who could be really good this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I agree, if Levis creeps into that conversation, then I think the primary goal for the Titans this year, as far as I'm concerned, is him. And I don't know that you're totally there if he gets to being where you discuss him as a top 15 quarterback in terms of fully selling off that he's your guy moving forward. But, I mean, you got a pretty good jump towards that direction. Like, part of playing quarterback in the NFL, and this is why I'm hesitant to just totally crown C.J. Stroud yet. And, look, I'll be honest with you. Like, I feel really good about Jordan Love. I need to see him do it for a little bit longer as well, because part of playing quarterback at a high level and being one of those top 10, top 15 guys is being able to do it every year. I mean, how many guys have we seen that come in, look really good early on, and then either the league catches up with them, or in some cases it's been injury, some cases a combination of the two, and they're just never quite the same. After that, I mean, we've talked about RG3. We've talked about Vince Young here in our own backyard. I mean, it's different circumstances for most of these guys when those conversations come in. But part of playing quarterback at a high level and being one of these guys that's top 15, top 20, is being able to do it for a consistent period of time. So if Levis does that this year and he's a top 15 guy, I feel great about it. I'm not totally convinced probably at the end of it that he's the quarterback of the future, absolutely. But that to me is about as good of a year from him as you could ask for. If he got into being a top 15 quarterback, I think you would be ecstatic about the direction of that if you're the Titans.
Yeah, and I think, actually, the problem is we're saying top 15, but what is it? I mean, maybe it's a down year for offenses in the league or something, right? But
sure.
I mean, it could look different ways being top 15. For the most part, though, I'd say if he is, then there's going to be a lot of momentum toward, oh, yeah, he's getting the deal, you know?
Yeah.
Like TD said last week, he's basically, he is embarking on a year of like he's flirting with $250 million. Like, can you go get that $250 million, Will Levis?
Yeah.
I mean, and I, yeah, I doubt he's framing it that way. That would probably be, first of all, not productive to look at it that way, but that's the reality of the situation. When you play, when you have that job, try to do that job in this country, very, very few people can do it. And if you can do it, man, you're going to get rewarded.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Do we think that Will Levis getting into the top 15 at the QB position this year is realistic? Do you think that? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Titans training camp beginning this week. We'll take your thoughts on all that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Throwing the question out there, is a path to being a top 15 quarterback this year realistic for Will Levis when you factor in the level of quarterback play around the league, him being in year two, his first year in a new offense? We'll take your thoughts on all of that. And Joe, one of the interesting parts of that discussion to me is how quickly out of the gate are the Titans going to be able to really be efficient, move the ball on offense. We see this from time to time in the NFL, right? And you've brought this example up before, and I think it's a good example, and there's a lot that went into it. But think about Arthur Smith, his first year as offensive coordinator with the Titans. There was a lot going on. You still had Marcus Mariota as the starting quarterback to begin all that. Taylor Lewan got suspended, so he came back, and it took really a few games for that offensive line after he came back to really gel. I remember they signed – was that the same offseason they signed Roger Saffold?
Yes.
And he looked terrible.
He was bad early.
The first four or five games. They came back – or Lewan came back. Eventually the line started to gel. Obviously they made a quarterback switch with Tannehill coming in. And the offense from where it began the season to where it ended the season, maybe the most dramatic turnaround I think I've ever seen on the offensive side of the football. I mean, it is pretty stark, the difference between the beginning and the end of that year. So I say that to say there were some mitigating circumstances involved there, but it was pretty stark. It took a while for the Titans offense to get going. You do have a first-time head coach, a first-time play caller, a second-year quarterback who's played a grand total of 9 games in the NFL. And now, added to all that, a couple new receivers, a very different offensive line. There's a lot that's new on this Titans offense this year. So how quickly are they going to be able to kind of gather all of this information, find out what works for them, what doesn't work for them? How quick can that process take place to where they're firing on, quote-unquote, all cylinders by the time the season comes around? Maybe it's week one. That's what you hope. Maybe it's week 9. Like, it's sometimes it takes a while with these new ingredients.
Yeah. That's a great example. That's the ultimate example of a team transforming during a season. That was the worst offense in the NFL after 6 games. The worst. And it was, I don't know, by the time they go to Kansas City, and they go into Kansas City in the AFC title game, their first 3 drives, they go it's like touchdown, field goal, touchdown. It's like, I mean, were they a top 3 offense or something? Something like, I mean, top 5 probably, right, in the NFL?
Dennis Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. So the worst offense in the NFL. No points at Denver. Can't complete a pass. Arthur Smith's an idiot. The offensive line's trash. Mariota's done, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and then they are, you know, they're a couple plays, honestly, from like being in the Super Bowl. So there you go. So it's a tough question with this one. It's like, first of all, well, right tackle. Yeah. Like, is Nicholas Petit-Frere gonna be out there this week? And then or whatever, whoever's gonna take that job, are they gonna solidify that? Is J.C. Latham as a rookie just ready to go? He's going to Chicago, and here you go. He's brick wall on on Levis's blind side. Or, you know, there's going to be probably some bumps for the rookie, right? You'd expect that. I think some of the pieces in place are good, but also we don't know about the new OC, the new play-calling head coach. So Could be right away. Could be later. Could be never.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, I don't know.
I say, how long is it going to take? It may take the whole year. Like, you know, they may not figure it out. That's part of what makes this year so intriguing is there's just so much unknown, especially on that side of the ball, in terms of exactly what they're going to be. Like, you feel really good about a lot of the additions that they've made on paper. But, you know, sometimes what you see on paper and what you see on the field takes a while to really mesh together and to fire on all cylinders that way. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Scott in Goodlettsville. Scott, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. Let me first say that I really appreciate you all keeping it in sports, man. Other stations don't do that, so kudos to you all. I enjoy listening to you every morning.
Thank you.
So my thing is, just want to throw this out there. I know we've talked 15. That's a lofty goal, as you guys mentioned, the quarterback. But I think the first thing is for us to see if he can be in the top two in his division. I mean, it's a division. The quarterbacks are young, all four of them. And so I think that's a key right there to get in that top 15. If he can be in the top two, if he can be, right below Trevor Lawrence and right above Stroud, if hopefully he takes a step back. But then Anthony Richardson, he's a wild card because he didn't play that much last year. So being in the top two in the division is going to be key because we got to play those guys, six times. You know, so beating them out head-to-head and getting a great division record will be key for me. I'll hang up and listen to you guys' thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that. And, it's unlikely it works out this way over the long term. But there is a chance. Like, there's a chance that all four teams in this division – have found their quote-unquote quarterback of the future for the next 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
There's a chance. Now, is it likely going to play out that way? Probably not. Somebody, I mean, it's not going to be Trevor Lawrence. He just got to pay a ton of money.
Yeah.
Somebody
he's in.
Is probably not going to make it. Maybe it's Levis. Maybe it's Richardson. I guess maybe it's Stroud, although he's off to a pretty darn good start.
Most people would say it's either Levis or Richardson if it's going to happen. If it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Right?
But, there's a chance that all four of them are good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's exciting. That would be fun to think about. But that also means that you could have a pretty good quarterback. And if you're still the third or fourth best quarterback in your division, what does that mean? Now, again, there's more to it than just having the best quarterback. Like, you've got to have a team around him, and we know that. But to Scott's point, like, that's what makes this division so intriguing is because all the quarterbacks are really young, even Trevor Lawrence. It feels like he's been around a while at this point, and he's younger than Will Levis. So that's the wild part of this to really think about in terms of all four of these teams may have found their quarterback of the future. And then how do you stack up if you're Levis against those other three guys, if that's the case moving forward here?
I don't know why this just came to mind, but the NFC East in 1991, I believe it would be it'd be Aikman – it'd be Randall Cunningham and Phil Simms. And probably the fourth best quarterback was Mark Rippon that year. And that team, that Washington, destroyed everybody. And I mean, he was great that year. I'm just saying, yes, there is a lot more to it than that. I just looked at PFF's rankings, by the way, which are always, as you know, I value those very highly.
Yes.
But just, we haven't done our guy Sandow at The Athletic hasn't done the tiers yet. That's always a big day when the quarterback tiers come out. These guys do tiers. They have a sixth tier, which is the next generation, and they have Richardson 24th, okay, leading that tier, and they have Levis the lowest in that tier at 28th overall. Then they get into, like, they at least have him over, like, Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold and some of these guys.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. But then, they've got, may as well go through the whole division. They got Lawrence 12th, and they've got Stroud. Where do they have Stroud? And there's going to be some crazy rankings of Stroud. These guys don't get into that, so I guess I give them credit. They have him 10th. They have Stroud 10th, though, ahead of Trevor Lawrence. But that's about how most people would look at it. Those two, probably in the top 15. I mean, it's hard to keep Lawrence out of the top 15. I know last year was disappointing, but he's still there. And then, I mean, just about unanimously across the league, I would bet Anthony Richardson will be ranked ahead of Levis, even though, to me, Levis showed more last year than Richardson did.
It has to. That goes purely back to, like, combine, right? Like, it has to.
Well,
draft position.
Yeah. He had a couple you know, he had the one crazy comeback. Who were they playing? Where he went nuts and he took over the game, and it was like, oh boy, okay, yeah. Now I see it. I think it was it the week before he got hurt against the Titans, or maybe 2 weeks before.
Yeah,
but there wasn't a lot for sure to go on. Some of it is just obviously the incredible talent, which, hey, that matters.
Sure.
And it's not like Levis was consistently good last year, but he had a little bit more opportunity. I thought he probably had a little bit, you would say a little bit better year, you know, than Richardson had. But people are going to rank Richardson higher. I mean, that's why he went where he went in the draft, and Levis went where he went. Yeah, so what did he end up with? I mean, he ended up with...
Richardson had 4 games, 577 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, 59.5% completion percentage. I mean, like, he barely played.
Right. Yeah, he had, like, the one game where they, in the second half, they just all of a sudden, he put the team on his back, and it was like, oh, there you go. And you know what? Hey, maybe that'll come to fruition this year, and there'll be no doubt about it. Again, like you said, the Titans are fascinating because of the unknown, but also... I think those two teams, and as part of the division of this, you know, the potential division of 4 long-term quarterbacks, you know, those two teams in particular are fascinating.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Good.
Good. Good talk to you. Well, that last caller got me really hyped up, man. I'm really excited for this season. Last 2 years been, you know, a little rough. This year just feels like it's going to be a lot of fun, man. We got Will. I think he's going to be a star. And like y'all are saying, this new division, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just going to be a complete refresher. New coach, new everything, new schemes. And I'm just so ready for it. I took a second job just to help the time pass until football season gets here. As soon as preseason starts, see ya. I'm going back to my other job.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Did he just put his 2 weeks in on the air? Like,
by the way, I'm out of here.
You should keep going through the preseason games, though, man. I mean, I know they're going
to the end of the preseason.
Yeah, I know they're going to play starters a little bit more, but yeah, that's the problem this week is everybody gets all excited, and then you're like, well, settle in, folks.
We got a long month and a half left until this stuff really gets started. At that point,
there's going to be a lot of stuff we talk about that ends up being laughed at in about 2 months.
There is going to be that. It's an annual tradition at this point. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your phone calls, more of your text on Will Levis and the Titans. Do you believe a path to him being a top 15 quarterback this year is attainable? More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. Is there a path for Will Levis being a top 15 quarterback this year? Your thoughts on that all show long. You know, I'm really interested to see as this goes along here, and I think part of what the answer to this question is going to be is how healthy can the wide receiver core stay? Because I feel like if Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd in particular can stay healthy, then that's the makings of a pretty good core right there. What version of Ridley are you going to get? Like, is Ridley going to be a guy that is a bona fide number one wide receiver in the NFL? Is Hopkins going to give you what he gave you a year ago? Because if you get those two things, then Will Levis's job becomes a lot easier at that point. Like, if Calvin Ridley is what you've paid him to be, and Hopkins is what he brought to the table last year, which is consistent availability, you can throw him the ball pretty much anywhere in his catch radius. He's going to come find a way to come down with it more times than not. You know, he's also, you know, added to that, like, if Ridley is what you paid him to be, and you can't just pay all of your attention to Hopkins if you're a defense, what does that do for Hopkins on the other side of the field as well? Like, if you get the best version of those two, and I realize that's a big if in the NFL, there's a lot that has to go into that, but if you get the best version of those two, Will Levis' job should be a lot easier. Now, I do think, and you brought up an important point earlier, I think there are a lot of people, after what they saw from him in college, the fact that Bill Callahan is now here and the track record that he brings with him and how impressive he was by all accounts at the mini camp and the rookie camp. I think there's a lot of people just penciling in that Latham on the left side is going to be really good, and hopefully he will be. Like, and I'm not saying that he won't be, but to your point, he is a rookie. And how often do you see rookies come into the league and it's just smooth sailing from day one? Doesn't happen very often. So maybe it will for him, and maybe it doesn't take him very long, even if there is some bumps, to really settle in and be a good player for them over on the left side. But you are talking about a rookie playing a different position than he played in college and doing it at the NFL level against some of the best athletes in the world. I would say there's probably going to be at least some growing pains once the games come around at that point.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Roger Saffold, who was a veteran who was really good with the Rams, obviously, had gotten to the Super Bowl and all that stuff, and it was ugly early. He also he didn't have Taylor Lewan next to him, but still. Yeah, it's a good reminder because you know there's going to be some – I mean, he's going to get schooled sometimes. Of course he will be. He's a rookie left tackle, and this league is loaded with good pass rushers. I mean, it's loaded with really difficult guys to block on the edge. You know, it's – and that's what – like the Titans this year, will they be in a position where they only have to help one side? That's been their problem. It's not just that obviously they've been really bad at left tackle, but they've had to worry about both sides. They haven't been solid really either side, you know, for it's not just left tackle. So what you're hoping is I think that at some point, and obviously the sooner the better, Latham becomes that guy where he's solid, and I do think that side with Latham and Skronsky, you know, going to Cushenberry could be really good, but I'm sure there will be some tough moments.
I'm sure there will. And then, like you said, the right side, we still got to see. We still got to see who ends up taking that job. If it is Petit Frere, you know, how good can he be? Can he stay healthy? Can he be a reliable option for them over on the right side? And your right guard, who's going to be the starter there? Can you have a reliable right side of the offensive line? That's probably, I think, you know, best case scenario for those guys is probably not elite, probably not upper tier in the National Football League, but can they be solid enough where you're just not constantly worried about them putting them out there? Like you said, they've spent so much time the last 2 years having to leave tight ends in to protect and to help out. And you're going to have to do that some this year would be my guess, but can you find a way to do that way less where you feel really good about Latham on the left and Petit Frere potentially on the right, where you can leave those guys on an island more often and have more options in the passing game? And look, the passing game is going to be different this year anyway. There's going to be just different formations than we're used to seeing from the Titans the last couple of years, and they're going to go three wide a lot more than they have, and I think everybody's looking forward to that. But this still, you know, we're talking about the quarterback and the excitement in the offense, and it's still a lot of it's going to come down to, can you block? I mean, that's been the question we've been talking about with this team for 2 years. Can you block?
Right, and we talk about this team's pass rush and the possibility that, you know, T'Vondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons could be this dynamic interior duo. Well, that's also where the Titans had problems too. I mean, that's the biggest, I think, issue with Aaron Brewer would be at times just getting overwhelmed by bigger guys in there. And, you know, Skoronski had some real rough pass pro stuff last year at different times. So how much better are they there? We don't know who the right guard will be. I think at least there are options. And I know TD last week said he thinks Sadiq Charles is going to be the starter there. They do have Brunskill and they have Raiden. So I mean, at least there's some like functional depth there. But Whoever it is, you know, are they going to be better? Is Cushenberry, just his size, is that going to make things a lot more sound in different matchups for the Titans? I mean, that's hugely important too.
No doubt about it. And then on the Levis front, can he take some strides in those areas that we've talked about with him? If the protection is better, and the weapons, I think, clearly are better than they were a year ago, what does that mean for him? I mean, you know, everybody views, and we've talked about this, I don't know how many people actually who are talking about Levis and are talking about the quarterback position from a national perspective, I don't know how much time they sat down and watched Will Levis play last year. Like, you would think the Miami comeback would be top of mind for some of these people when you start talking about Levis. But I think if you really dig down into it, it doesn't take you long to realize the conditions were bad. I mean, the conditions were bad from a line standpoint, a receiving standpoint. It was just bad for them last year. So if that is significantly better, well, then some of the excuses start to go out the door for him. It's, you know, you're still going to have a first-time head coach, but if the conditions are better, what does that translate into for him? You would have to think it would help. How much does it help? Does it help to the point where his natural ability and his full potential starts to become pretty evident? Like, can you get to a point pretty quickly in the season where you're like, okay, well, we're blocking for him. Guys are getting open. It's not, you know, they're not draped in coverage like they were last year outside of DeAndre Hopkins. Guys are getting open. We feel good about the play calling, the offensive system, and man, he is playing really well. He's making quick decisions with the ball. He's making good decisions with the football, and we feel really good about where he is. Like, that's to me why I think it was so important, and why some of the conversation around the Titans, like, why are they spending money? Like, what are they doing? Was so mystifying to me, because this is why you do it. You figure out what you have at quarterback when you surround him with better weapons.
Yeah, I mean, again, the whole thing of in the NFL. It's a long rebuilding process. You should stink for a while. It doesn't really work out that way. Every year in the NFL, you should be able to look at your team and say, okay, how can this team get in the playoffs? Like, there's no reason not to do that, yeah. Right? Like, it's just so different from, well, it's certainly hockey. Like, hockey is such a contrast in hockey in terms of team building. So, yeah, absolutely. I like what they did. And you're right. A lot of those, if it gets down to where he has good conditions and the ball is just not out on time or he's throwing bad picks or whatever, I mean, it'll be easy to see. Because I think that the problem with some of the people evaluating him from afar last year and based on EPA and all these things is like, okay, go back and watch it. And there are certainly some reps out there where he was late with the ball or he missed a pass you have to make or he made a bad decision. But the eyeball test of watching him, that's where I think there's such a disconnect between local and national, in which local is right, which is just that it was encouraging. It was an overall encouraging, not great, but it was encouraging. There was a lot to build on, you could see. And if you're just going to box score scout him, then you're not taking into account just how bad it was. It was pretty freaking bad.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, a legendary Tennessee Titan called out a friend of the program on Friday, and it was beautiful to see. I'm really excited to get Joe's reaction to this coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
I didn't see a lot of people that were like, I got to see Derrick Henry's last 8 games with the Titans. I can't miss these because they didn't trade him for a potential 3rd-round pick.
So because
that might be a huge thing for next
because
year.
Some people didn't show up, that dismisses the people who did?
I'm just saying.
What about the people who were there, Paul? You don't care about them?
It's fine. Worship your hero. That's not the way I look at a team.
That was Paul Kuharsky on Friday alongside Joe Rexroad. I heard you guys got in a heated discussion about rooting for players, rooting for teams.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
No, and it was at the very end of Friday, and it was like, God, I wish we did this earlier. This was good because, there was a lot of reaction. A lot of people were getting into it. Probably more people than not actually backed him. On the text line, they were a little bit more for him than against. And again, I'm not saying you should be rooting for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, that's not the point. But rooting for Derrick Henry, sure. I don't think you have to turn in your Titans fan card if you're rooting for Derrick Henry to do well this year. And if that happens to result in some wins for the Ravens, well, I got news for you. They're going to win some games anyway. Okay.
Well, I mean, Kuharsky maybe thinks that they're not going to win a whole lot of games. He had them. He's not as high on the Ravens as some other people are.
Yeah. But I don't think he thinks they're going to be trash. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, Kuharsky took that conversation to Twitter on Friday.
Of course he did.
And said, quote, "If you root for Derrick Henry to the extent that you want the Ravens to win so much as a game, you are not the Titans fan you think you are. Period. Not up for debate. If they are on the goal line at the end of a game, they're trailing by 4, and you want him to score, You are not the Tennessee fan that you think you are. This is from Paul Karski on Friday.
That's just stupid.
Well, Derrick Henry thought so too, because Derrick Henry quote tweeted Kuharski and said, quote, "Paul, go find something to do," end quote. This was the tweet from Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry still keeping tabs on Paul Kuharski, which is good to see. But
fantastic.
What did you make of PK's tweet and Derrick Henry's response to that tweet?
It was fantastic. I quote tweeted it and just said gold jacket. Like, that's a Hall of Fame tweet for a future Hall of Famer. Did Paul ever respond?
I don't think so.
He just crawled into his little hole. Didn't want to mess with Derrick. I get it. Yeah, that was fantastic response by Derrick. And again, like, if the situation hurts your team, then fine, right? Like, if the Titans find themselves, maybe the Ravens are a little bit disappointed this year, and the Bengals are amazing with Burrow, and so you're in the mix with a bunch of other teams along with the Ravens for a wild card, then of course not. You wouldn't want Derrick Henry to score on that play to give them a win. But if it doesn't hurt your team, who cares?
I would love to know. Luckily, we have a lot of history to look back on between the Titans and former players going to the Ravens. I mean,
that is true.
Steve McNair was the quarterback for the Ravens at one point, as we know. D-Mace, very good wide receiver for the Ravens. Samari Roll was there. I mean, this has been a long-standing tradition at this point of Titans really good players going to Baltimore. So I would love to know, like, if you've been a Titans fan for a long time, when McNair was the quarterback of the Ravens, did you want him to do well? Like, did you? And now it's also a little bit different because, number one, you know, they used to be in the same division, AFC Central, back in the day. You had the rivalry of the 2000 team that was looked like they were about to go back into the Super Bowl. Ray Lewis and company coming here, and it was really painful. He had 03 when they met in the playoffs. The Titans beat him on the road up there. So there was some pretty recent nastiness related to that rivalry.
Yep.
And just some different personalities. Like, I know the Titans have met the Ravens in the playoffs twice somewhat recently as well. Like, it wasn't quite the same as that back in the day. It was just a different type of rivalry. So, you know, it's quarterback. It's different between, you know, those two positions, obviously. But you did have Steve McNair playing for them one time. I would love to know, like, did you root for McNair to do well when he was the quarterback of the Ravens?
It's a good question. Yeah. I guess one thing about that is it's a little bit more directly affecting team success, you know, when it comes to a quarterback. I mean, D-Mace was really good there.
He was.
For a few years. So that's also different, too. The thing about this is, Derrick Henry, that was seen as like the big payback. Like you said, you don't want to forget that game in 03 before they lost to the Raiders in the title game. But the playoff win in Baltimore was Derrick Henry completely dominating that game after they talked all this trash.
Yep.
And so now he goes there. So there is still like the history piece, you know, with these players. But I think he's a different deal, too. I mean, I think Derrick Henry has a case. I think he certainly has a case of the most popular Titan of all time. I wasn't here for McNair, but my understanding is it wasn't like it was all like, "Yo, you're the greatest of all time."
Certainly not the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I mean Derrick Henry, I think, has a case as the most beloved and just universally, and how, you know, and he should be right in there for performance, personality, just all of it, professionalism. So, yeah, look, I don't think there's anything at all wrong with rooting for him, even if that does lead to, I mean, if he has a great year, that probably means good things for them.
Yeah, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I also don't blame if you're a Titans fan and you don't root for him to do well. Like, I don't hold that against you either. Like, you know, look, I'm obviously a big Packers fan. I do not want to see Aaron Rodgers do well with the New York Jets.
Right.
I do not.
But he's also very unlikable.
He is. But, like, I
mean, you had issues with him when he was there. He annoyed the hell out of you.
He did.
Derrick Henry not annoy the hell out of any Titans
fans. That is true. But, like, look, Davante Adams. Loved me Davante Adams. Did not want to see him do well in the Raiders. Like, it just when you make – and now I realize this is a different situation than that. Like, Davante Adams leaving the Packers was different than Derrick Henry – leaving the Titans. It's just a completely different situation. But I'm just saying, like, if you're a Titans fan out there that doesn't want to see him do well, in Baltimore. Like, I don't really hold that against you. Like, I think the team part of this too is a pretty important factor. So I don't really have a problem either way. Like, I don't think you need to turn in your Titans fan card if you're like, well, Derrick Henry ran for 150 yards today, really enjoyed seeing that. And then you, like, I guess you hope the Ravens lose 35-32 at the end of the day or sure. something like that. But like, I don't have a huge issue with Titans fans wanting Derrick Henry to do well in a different spot. Like, because I think part of this too is you say future Hall of Famer, and I agree. But I do think, like, there's still more for him to do out there, right? Like, to really, really – we've talked about this with him – solidify. There are some people that think he's a lock. There are some people that think there's still more left to accomplish for him to get in the Hall of Fame. So if you're somebody that really wants to see him in the Hall of Fame at the end of the day, then you would probably want him to do well.
Absolutely. Baltimore. Yeah, because I – he might get in right now if he retired, but I don't know.
I mean, I would put him in right now, but that doesn't – mean that he will.
Yeah. I think it's definitely trending toward he's going to get in, but absolutely. If he stacks a couple more 1,000-yard seasons in Baltimore on top of everything, then that strengthens his case to the point where it's hard to imagine him not getting in. So there's another reason. Good job. Another reason to
Thank
root
you.
For him. There you go. Yeah, I don't think it's controversial. I know it'd be easier if he was like with the Cowboys or something, although I guess you could, well, an NFC team, let's say. I mean, some people really hate them, too.
Is that?
There's nothing wrong with rooting for players after they leave. Nothing wrong with rooting for players. I mean, obviously, like LeBron, some people are just LeBron fans. I know that's different, but still.
Why couldn't he have gone to the Cardinals? Nobody has anything against the Cardinals. Derek, you run for as many yards as you want to run down there in Arizona.
You used to be able to say the Lions.
Probably. That's true.
Yeah. Now they're supposedly good.
NFL's darling team now.
Yeah. Just wait. Reality coming.
So you don't think that this means that Titans fans are going to be flying around with Baltimore Ravens flags hanging out of their car or anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just Karski just has to take it overboard. Again, I think some people are trying to read into like we're talking about now you're a Ravens fan. No, that's not at all the point. And I gave the example for me of Kirk Gibson leaving the Tigers for the Dodgers to date myself in the 80s. But at first, I was mad. I was upset. It was awful. And then he had an MVP season with the Dodgers by the postseason. I was just, like, totally rooting for him and them, you know. But, I mean, that was just me. But I think that happens to people sometimes. Like, if the Titans are, like, 7-10 this year, they don't make the playoffs, which would be – that's right around the range of what they'll probably be, 7-8 wins.
Yeah.
And the Ravens are, you know, 13-4, and they're a contender. You're not going to root for Derrick Henry to go get a ring at that point. I mean, at that point, your team's out of it. I understand the hatred and the history with the Ravens, but Ray Lewis isn't on that field, right?
Yeah, but I think it's still the team, though.
Yeah, still the franchise. The thing about that is, it's like it's such a good and respectable franchise. Like, you actually have to really respect the franchise,
you do.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one. So let's say that's the scenario, and they're in the postseason, and it's, you know, it's Ravens Chiefs again. You're not rooting for Derrick Henry to go for $150, two touchdowns, and get to the Super Bowl and have his chance. I know it would hurt to see your great player, like with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
But there's such a difference. A.J. Brown shouldn't have been traded. There wasn't the emotional connection to him with fans that there is with Derrick Henry.
In that scenario, too, I think we're getting real heavy into the Chiefs fatigue that I think is about to sweep the nation.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
it's already there.
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing a whole lot of winning. I mean, I'm thinking back as we're having this conversation on my sports fandom. I'm pretty spiteful. Like,
yeah.
Didn't want Rodgers to do well. Didn't want Adams to do well. LeBron James, still one of my greatest things about him is he's won more championships with the Heat than he has anywhere else. So I've always rooted for him to not win more with the Cavs or the Lakers than he did with the Heat. I'm very spiteful.
Okay. That's fair. I'm trying to think if there's an example like that for me. I'm sure there is. You know, for me, like Dennis Rodman was tough. But I still kind of liked him. But also I was just like, ah,
the Bulls.
Your stupid purple hair and Jordan and Pippen. Ugh. So that would be one. I certainly did not want him to do well or them to do well. So there's one.
There
but
go.
that's a direct rival, too. and more than the Ravens. The Ravens have the history, but they're not a division rival.
We'll take your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on this conversation. We'll get back into some quarterback conversation as well. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.